Hi there, everybody. My name is Laura Kellen May from ThistleRidgeStables.com and Equestrian Skill Builders on Facebook.
Hi there, everybody. My name is Laura Kellen May, and today our guest is Joyce Chartier from Choice LLC and Choice Party Ponies. How are you doing today, Joyce?
I am fabulous.
Where are you located, first of all?
I have two different locations, both in Florida, one on the East Coast, the Treasure Coast area, specifically Palm City, Florida, and then I have my West Coast of Florida division, which is based in San Antonio, Florida.
Excellent. So you run both businesses from where you are located right now? So
yes.
You go.
Yes, I run them both from San Antonio.
Do you have a web page or website that people can find you at?
I have two web pages. One is Choice Ponies, and I spell it funny because my name is Joyce and my ponies are Choice. And it's C-H-O-Y, as in yellow, C-E, ponies, P-O-N-I-E-S.com. And my second website is choicellc.com.
Choiceponies.com and choicellc.com. And they can find you there and find out some more in-depth stuff about your businesses there. Tell us a little bit about what you do and what your businesses are.
Well, my one business is my main business, and it's one that I started 20 years ago. And that was my pony party business, and that is my East Coast business. I don't do pony parties on the West Coast, and that's part of why I have two different websites. The one website is more my East Coast website, and then the Choice LLC website is my West Coast website, and that one is primarily doing trail rides because that's more what I enjoy and what I specialize in, and it's how I reshaped my business when I moved to the West Coast. It's probably been 2 or 3 years ago now.
So what are some of the big trail rides that you've done on the West Coast then?
Usually my big ride that I do every year is the Osceola Wagon Train and Trail Ride, which is in the central part of Florida in Osceola County. And that one I try to do every year. This year, for the first time, I did the Cracker Trail ride that I haven't done for probably 10 years. I was thrilled to be able to do that. And then the big ride that I did this year was the Great Florida Cattle Drive 16. I did the cattle drive in 2006, and then I had the opportunity to do it again in 2016. I was an outfitter for the ride. I had a total of 16 horses at that ride this year.
So outfitter, so you outfit the trail rides with horses, tack, equipment, all
yes.
That type of thing.
Yes.
And you get them to the trailhead and then you meet up with the people prior to?
If they require that, you know, in fact, when I did the package, it was with the inclusion of one ride so that they could get to know my horses and get to know me and, you know, I did not guarantee them that that was the horse that they would get, but at least they had an idea of what my horses were. I got a chance to assess their riding abilities, and then I could kind of get an idea of where I needed to place them and which horse they needed to be on.
You must spend a lot of time combing the countryside for quality horses that can be used and ridden by people.
Yeah, that, and then I have my old steady standbys that one of them is my Luke horse, and he took someone out on the ride this year that prior to me meeting him, he had been on a horse twice in his life.
It's more than just going out to a trail ride. I mean, these are significant overnight rides, right?
Yeah. This was week-long camping, moving our campsites every day, loading up all of our equipment into a trailer. I got called in at the last minute to be the trail boss, the circle boss for the Blue Group, which was on the west coast of Florida. We had some people that had to call out due to illness, and I was the third person that I said I would do it. So I had 81 people in my group, including my group of 15 riders. So that made the logistics a whole lot more difficult at that point.
So you, with 81 people, you were organized with logistics for the horses, for the people, for the equipment, everything.
Yeah, and you know, because I was the person that put out the fires and I was the liaison between the head honchos and the people, and so I was trying to help them out. I was required to have two trucks and trailers. One to move all of the feed, the hay and the grain for the horses, and then the other one was to remove all of the equipment that people had brought with them to camp, all of their tents, their clothes, all that kind of stuff.
So not just riding, but also all the logistics and coordination involved as well.
Yes, absolutely.
That sounds like a very large undertaking.
Yes, it was. I didn't know. When I did the ride in 2006, I did the ride. I did the ride as a participant. And, you know, I had been going to the meetings, but I certainly had no idea about what all of the logistics were, really, until probably maybe the second day of when I'd actually accepted, when I said I was going to do it. It was quite an experience. It was totally fabulous. I had a great bunch of people who supported me in this. The mistakes that were made that were the mistakes that were made, and we got it all sorted out in the end. We're hoping for another opportunity in 2021 when we will celebrate 500 years of Ponce de Leon bringing horses and cattle and sheep and pigs and goats to the state of La Florida.
Very interesting. Let's move on now, Joyce, and talk a bit about you. How did you get started with your riding?
I started when I was little. I started riding with a friend of mine. I started out on a rocking horse, and I rode as a kid on a dairy with a friend of mine. We used hay stirring bridles because none of the cowboys that were there would let us use any of their proper equipment. And then I didn't ride again until I was 17 years old, again at a dairy. I was riding a three-year-old buckskin Appaloosa that would be going along for 2 or 3 or 4 hours and then all of a sudden get a wild hare and buck me off, and then I would be walking. Then I went and took lessons and learned how to ride. And then I started training horses, and then I started teaching riders.
So you started riding in Florida?
Yes.
And I'm going to take a stab here and say Western-type riding?
Oh, well, mostly bareback, because like I say, they wouldn't let us use any of their equipment, and we would literally take hay string and make bridles out of it and put it on the horses and ride the horses in hay string bridles.
When you got these hay string bridles and you just got on the horses, so you're talking cowboys, so these must have been real ranches that you were riding at.
Yeah. Yeah, they were dairies, actually, which is the weirdest, wildest thing, but
a whole other topic for another podcast. How did you come up with your idea for Joyce LLC and Joyce Party Ponies?
20 years ago, I was involved in 4-H, and I was learning how to teach, and I was also involved with the Horsemanship Safety Association, of which Betty Bennett Talbot was the originator and the director of that, and I learned how to teach from her in her clinics. At the time, I was also involved with the 4-H, and we were doing pony rides in the park in Okeechobee every year as a fundraiser for the 4-H. And out of that, people would find them and call them up and ask them to do parties, and they would be like, we don't want to do parties. We don't do parties at people's houses. The person at the time that was running the 4-H club that I was involved with, she was like, I had somebody call me to bring ponies to a party, and I don't do that, but maybe you might want to. And at the time, I had one pony, and I had my daughter, who was then 4 years old. I took her and her pony Buttercup, and I walked around in circles with Buttercup doing pony rides for 2 hours. And then at the end, Tiffany did a riding demonstration of her running a barrel pattern. They gave me $100, and I was like, wow, somebody paid me to do this.
You get paid for doing something that you like to do.
Yeah. I mean, and I was exhausted, but it was like, wow. So I went from that to going to the flea market in Stewart, and I did the flea market in Stewart, the B&A flea market. I did that for 10 years, bringing ponies. Then while I was doing that, I was also developing the pony party business. So when that ended with the flea market, I just kept on doing the pony parties, and then I added, you know, little things like bounce houses and petting zoos and bungee jumps. And
so you kept growing and growing and
growing. Yeah.
Are there others, people doing the same thing, and how is yours different from others out there?
Absolutely, there are people who are doing mine. You know, there are people who always think, well, you know, she's making money and she loves it and she's doing a great job at it. And so they think, oh, we can do this. And I have competitors. One of my best friends was one of my best competitors for many years until she sold her business. And we would toss pony parties back and forth all the time because we were very good friends. And we would always discuss what we were doing with our pony party businesses and what was going on. It's very rare that you can have a competitor who is in your same service area that you can get along with. And we're still friends. And we've been friends for 17 years.
Excellent. So how are you different from the others?
I bring ponies that have been doing this for many, many years. We did the Stewart Air Show with our ponies. With the bombs and the jets, my ponies are very established. They're very experienced. They've been doing this for numerous years. They come glitterized. I bring unicorns. I can bring zebras. I can bring something as odd as a unicorn or a zunicorn, which is only seen on the Treasure Coast. It comes in all varieties of pinks and purples and blues, and it's striped, and it's a unicorn.
Do you have any pictures of the zunicorn?
I do have pictures of the zunicorn on my website. I think definitely I have her on my Facebook page.
Okay. What's your Facebook page, Joyce? Joyce Party Ponies on Facebook?
I have Choice Party Ponies on Facebook, and then I also have Choice LLC on Facebook.
So as far as the business goes, what do you think is the number one thing holding back people from doing what they want to do? For example, you have a great business. Why do you think people are not going for it?
Depends on your mindset, and I think that there are people, and I see success all over every day. I see people doing this and making it work. I see lots and lots of people who can do a horse business and make it work. Consequently, I see other people who, this is a lot of work. It involves a lot of hours. When you have a horse business, when you have any business, you eat, breathe, and sleep it. When you put your horses before you do and you spend the bulk of your income on what you do, because I don't make a whole lot of money. I don't, you know, this is a very small living for the amount of hours and the amount of time and the amount of love that I put into this. It's not real easy for people to understand. When I say things like, my stock all has four legs, I don't have a 401k, I don't have a retirement, I don't have all those things that people traditionally look for. And that's a little bit of a challenge.
So people are a little bit afraid of the investment that they have to make.
And your reputation is important. And I see a lot of people who come into the horse business and maybe they don't have the best of morals. And that makes a whole nother bunch of issues there.
So what was one of the major roadblocks you experienced when you set out with your businesses?
Insurance costs. My insurance this year for my pony parties was over $3,000. It's gone up.
That's for the Choice Party ponies?
Just the ponies.
Just the ponies.
Yeah. You know, I was in business and had been doing this for probably 8 or 9 years. And, you know, I was always wearing boots when I walked with the ponies. And I got plantar fasciitis. And that really put a hitch in my get along. And I had to really think on my feet to try to keep this business going, because basically I couldn't walk anymore. So now I have had, over the years, I've had people that have subcontracted to me that they also feel the passion that I do, and they also love what I do, and they've helped me with my business over the years.
But you're still able to ride, right?
Oh, I'm still able to ride. I still could choose to teach. I just didn't take that part of me when I moved over to the West Coast, where I had a barn. I had, you know, riding instruction. When I moved over to the West Coast, I was like, you know what? I just want to do trail rides.
So you are subcontracting your Choice Party ponies?
Yes. A few years ago, when I shut down my barn in 2013, then I made the decision to move across the state. Usually has a business like mine, they sell it or they shut it down, and then they move and they start over again. I made the decision to try to run that business remotely from across the state. It takes having people that you can trust to do something like that. Now I have moved across the state, and that's been an amazing thing.
So when did you know that you survived that major moment and overcame that major roadblock?
It wasn't a big moment. It was just a continuing, ongoing journey of, wow, I'm making this work. Wow, I still have money in the bank. Wow, I'm still able to feed the horses. And it's just, it's little things. It's not any one big moment that goes, wow, I'm making this work.
Thank you so much, Joyce, for visiting with us today.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.